The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
A bipartisan group of lawmakers delivered their border compromise plan to the president. Now, there was some question whether he'd actually sign it, because the deal offered Trump less than a quarter of the $5.7 billion he wanted for barriers along the U.S.-Mexico border. He does get 55 miles of fencing along the border, but not walls based on new steel or concrete prototypes Mr. Trump has promoted. Wow. That's a serious walk back. Honey, I know you wanted a diamond engagement ring. But what about this candy necklace that says hot and horny? You can eat it.
Nah.
Now, we recorded this earlier, but I assume he signed it, even though he claims he could get all the money he wants for his wall if he just declared a national emergency. That, of course, would be insane.
Mm-hmm.
It would be usurping Congress's power. There would be immediate court challenges, many in his own party have said it would set a terrible precedent of unconstitutional overreach by the executive branch. So I seriously, Mitch McConnell?
I've just had an opportunity to speak with President Trump, and he, I would say to all my colleagues, has indicated he's prepared to sign the bill. He will also be issuing a national emergency declaration at the same time.
And you can tell by the tone of my voice and the urgency with which I'm informing you that this is a true national emergency. In a related matter, I see that the Senate chamber is on fire and filled with scorpions. Everybody run. Run for your lives. Now,
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi was none too pleased, and she had a warning for the future.
I know the Republicans have some unease about it, no matter what they say, because if the president can declare an emergency on something that he has created as an emergency, an illusion that he wants to convey, just think of what a president with different values can present to the American people.
Or a president with any values. I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
Again, we recorded this earlier, but if he does declare a national emergency to get his wall, where's the money going to come from? Well, sources say he's going to take it from disaster relief funds intended for California and Puerto Rico. I mean, no, you boo all you want, but really, really, folks, what's the difference? Fires, hurricane, my administration, they're all disasters. They just seek higher ground.
You think?
Seek
higher ground. Trump's childish reaction shouldn't come as a complete surprise, because he warned us yesterday that no matter what Congress said, his wall was getting built.
The wall is very, very on its way.
What?
It's happening.
Huh?
As we speak. And it's a big wall. It's a strong wall. It's a wall that people aren't going through very easy. They're going to have to be in extremely good shape to get over this one. They would be able to climb Mount Everest a lot easier.
I don't know what the...
Whoa.
Mount Everest? What the hell is he talking about?
He's delusional.
Wow. Is he going to build the wall straight up? I don't...
You're going to need oxygen.
You're going to need oxygen.
Oh, my God. No kidding. Thank you, Stephen Colbert. And he did all that without even seeing the shit show that was today in the Rose Garden. Now, I don't normally recommend watching Donald Trump deliver any kind of speech, but this was one for the books. It really was. First of all, welcome to Friday. It's Friday. Yay! So we have a weekend here. And the weird news is, I mean, this afternoon, within the next hour or so, the dotard is going to get on Marine One and head to Air Force One and come down here to Florida again to go to Mar-a-Lago. Because it's President's Day weekend. And you know, it's all about me. You're going to salute me. It's a day for me. Ugh. Anyway, it was sort of like that. So Trump goes out to the Rose Garden, and the first thing people notice is there's no teleprompter here. This is going to be a shit show. And it was. Something. It was really something. First of all, he started talking, and he didn't talk about the national emergency or the wall or any of that for the first, I don't know how long, it felt like an eternity. But he was going on about trade and about China and North Korea and everything else. And then finally, he somehow got to the national emergency part of it.
I'm going to be signing a national emergency.
What?
And it's been signed many times before.
Uh-huh.
It's been signed by other presidents.
Well, different. Real emergencies.
77 or so, it gave the presidents the power.
Real emergencies.
There's rarely been a problem. They sign it. Nobody cares.
What?
I guess they weren't very exciting.
What?
Nobody cares. They sign it for far less important things in some cases, in many cases.
Yeah, like far less important things, like 9/11. Like the hostage, when the hostages were taken in Iran in 1979. That, I mean, nobody cares because they weren't exciting. The man is demented. He is a sick individual. The interview is going to air on 60 Minutes this Sunday, but Andrew McCabe, former FBI person who Trump fired with 26 hours left to go before he was eligible to retire and get his pension. Nice guy, that president. Andrew McCabe, his interview for his book is going to be on 60 Minutes this Sunday night, in which he says there were actual discussions about invoking the 25th Amendment to remove Donald Trump from office. Now, some have denied it. Rod Rosenstein apparently is denying the fact that he offered to wear a wire, according to McCabe, on more than one occasion. Oh, but I digress. The first thing you need to know is Donald Trump is such an asshole. He's got such a bloated sense of self. He is a narcissist. We've discussed that before. He sort of, in his own discombobulated, delusional way, laid out his case for, No, he didn't lay out a case for it being a national emergency. But, you know, he rambled on about why he should have his wall and how he was going to declare it a national emergency, even though it isn't really one. And then he admitted it's not really an emergency. So, but I'm declaring it one anyway.
I want to do it faster.
He wants to do it fast.
I could do the wall over a longer period of time. I didn't need to do this, but I'd rather do it much faster. And I don't have to do it for the election. I've already done a lot of wall.
What?
For the election.
What?
2020. And the only reason we're up here talking about this is because of the election. Because they want to try and win an election, which it looks like they're not going to be able to do. And this is one of the ways they think they can possibly win is by obstruction and a lot of other nonsense. And I think that I just want to get it done faster.
He just wants to get it done faster. I didn't really have to do this. So what he said was, this is not really an emergency. If it was really an emergency, he would have done something 2 years ago or throughout the 2 years when he controlled all of government. The Republicans controlled the White House, the Senate, in the House of Representatives. He could have pushed through any funding bill he wanted because the Democrats were toothless. They were powerless. They didn't have any majority. And yes, he is a dumb fuck. Looking at the YouTube chat room, someone just said dumb fuck, and he is one. So that, in fact, what's his name? Kellyanne Conway's husband, George Conway, tweeted out something to the effect of, this needs to be the, let me see if I can find it real fast. George Conway. Isn't that funny how he comes up first when you search him? Oh, man. Oh, damn it. I did it wrong. I need at George Conway. Otherwise, I'm getting all the people's responses to George Conway. Okay, at George Conway. Let's try this. No, it's still not showing up right. Damn it. All right, that's because that's not his handle anyway. Anyway, what he said, because I can't find it, what he said was, this needs to be the first line of every one of these challenges, every one of these lawsuits filed against Donald Trump, because this, he just admitted it's not really an emergency. I didn't have to do this now. I just want to do it fast. And already four entities have declared that if they haven't already filed their lawsuits, they're a coming. The state of California, CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, I think is what CREW stands for. The New York Attorney General, Letitia James, and the ACLU have all already come out to say lawsuits are coming. He wasn't only rambling and incoherent, which he was. He was also deeply offensive. Here's one that got Twitter a buzz. He started talking about Chinese. I guess he's not president anymore because Xi declared himself leader for life, right? But just listen to how he quotes President Xi by putting on a fake Chinese accent.
And when I asked President Xi, I said, do you have a drug problem? No, no, no. I said, you have 1.4 billion people. What do you mean you have no drug problem? No, we don't have a drug problem. I said, why? Death penalty.
Oh, God.
We give death penalty to people that sell drugs. End of problem.
We give death penalty to people who sell drugs. End of problem. The oh God you heard, that was me. I was recording the audio and my microphone was on. So you heard me in the room just when he said that. that was my oh God. Yeah. So he's advocating again the death penalty for drug offenders. Lovely. I mean, there were just so many. I know you hate it when I play his voice, but just so you could hear how completely off the rails this man was. He was challenged by two of the journalists after his long rambling comments. He just can't resist. He can't help himself. And he says, are there any questions? And of course, Brian Karam asked a question. He's been on this program before. I had Brian Karam on because I love, well, I used to love his questions to Sarah Sanders in the White House, you know, lying sessions. They don't do those anymore. But he challenged a dump today.
Unifying crime reporting statistics, numbers from your own Border Patrol, numbers from this government show that the amount of illegal immigrants are down. There is not violence on the border. Mm-hmm. And that
there's
most
violence on the
there's
border?
Not as much violence
oh, really?
As
let me, you had wait 26 minute, wait, wait, people
let me finish the
killed.
Question please let me finish the question
2 weeks
please.
Ago 26 people were killed
I
in a gunfight on the border.
I understand what you're
a
saying.
Mile away from where I went.
I was there. I understand. That's not the question. The question is,
do we forget about that?
No, I'm not forgetting about it. I'm asking you to clarify where you get your numbers, because most of the DEA crimes reporting statistics that we see show that drugs are coming across at the ports of entry, that illegal immigration is down, and the violence is down. Okay. So what do you base your facts on?
Come on, let's go.
Where do you get your facts?
Sort of, no, you get one. You get
well,
one.
Well, the
ready?
Second
just
question
sit down.
Is...
Wait, sit down. Sit down.
Could you please answer?
Sit down. You get
oh
one
God.
Question.
Oh my
I get
God.
My numbers from a lot of sources.
Oh, a lot
like
of sources.
Like Homeland Security.
Uh-huh.
Primarily.
Uh-huh.
And the numbers that I have from Homeland Security are a disaster. And you know what else is a disaster? The
you.
Numbers that come out of Homeland Security, Kirsten, for the cost that we spend and the money that we lose because of illegal immigration. Billions and billions of dollars a month. Billions and billions of dollars. And it's unnecessary.
So your own government stats are wrong, are you saying?
No, I use many stats.
Could you share those stats with us?
Let me tell you.
Could you share those stats
with us? You have stats that are far worse than the ones that I use. But I use many stats, but I also use Homeland Security. All right, next question.
And do you, wait a minute, just a quick follow-up.
Go, please.
And so he shushed Brian Caramon up. Okay, so if that wasn't enough, he actually, a few questions later, called on CNN's Jim Acosta. You know where this is going.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wonder if you could comment on this disconnect that we seem to have in this country where you are presenting information about what's happening at the border, calling it an invasion, talking about women with duct tape over their mouths and so on. And yet there's a lot of reporting out there. There's a lot of crime data out there. There's a lot of Department of Homeland Security data out there that shows border crossings at a near record low.
It's not because of you, you fucking bullshit artist.
That shows undocumented criminals or undocumented immigrants committing crime at lower levels than native-born Americans. What do you say to
you don't really believe that stat. You really believe that stat. Take a look at our federal prisons.
I believe in facts and statistics and data.
Okay, any more quick. Let's go.
Let me just ask you this. What do you say to your critics who say that you are creating a national emergency? That you're concocting a national emergency here in order to get your wall because you couldn't get it through other ways.
What do you think? Do you think I'm creating something?
So this piece of shit says, let me ask the angel moms, because Donald Trump brought prop people with him. Before he came out, these people started emerging from the Oval Office, heading out to the Rose Garden, carrying pictures, big pictures of other people. We've later learned they're angel moms whose daughters were killed by, quote, illegals. How dare he do this, especially the day after the first anniversary of the Parkland shooting? How dare he? How many hundreds of thousands of people have been killed in this country due to gun violence? And none of those mass shooters were, quote, illegals. This piece of shit, he doesn't know how to, he can't answer the question Jim Acosta asked him. So he resorts to his prop people. Shame on him. And then he lies and then he yells.
Incredible women who lost their daughters and their sons. Okay? Because your question is a very political question, because you have an agenda. You're CNN. You're fake news.
Oh,
you have an agenda.
That's it.
The numbers
that's what he does.
That you gave are wrong. Take a look at our federal prison population.
All right. Enough. So he accosts Jim Acosta again. He lies. He pulls out his prop people. I'm going to play just one more Trump clip for you, because this one was really creepy. I mean, it was all creepy. The guy is just, he's scary. He is, I've used the word a number of times already today. He is demented. He's got dementia going on. There is something seriously wrong with this man. But so he talks about the, first of all, as I mentioned at the beginning, for those of you who weren't here, Trump automatically gave all those who are going to file lawsuits against them. And by the way, in the chat room, nobody take credit for my beautiful roses. My daughter gave those to me. Just saying. It's the YouTube chat room. People are claiming they gave me the pink roses that are sitting here next to me. They're from my kid. Anyway, I digress. The YouTube. Sorry, I shouldn't even look that way. Now I lost my train of thought. See, I shouldn't even look at the chat room. So already four groups have come forth and said they're going to be filing a lawsuit against Trump. Trump gave them their opening arguments by saying, I didn't need to do this. I didn't need to file an emergency, but I want to do it fast. I didn't need to do this because it's not a real emergency. So then at one point, just this happened.
So the order is signed and, I'll sign the final papers as soon as I get into the Oval Office, and we will have a national emergency, and we will then be sued, and they will sue us in the Ninth Circuit, even though it shouldn't be there, and we will possibly get a bad ruling, and then we'll get another bad ruling, and then we'll end up in the Supreme Court.
Oh,
and
my
hopefully
God.
We'll get a fair shake, and we'll win in the Supreme Court, just like the ban.
Oh, my God.
They sued us in the Ninth Circuit, and we lost, and then we lost in the appellate division, and then we went to the Supreme Court, and we won.
I can't believe, what is he, 10?
And it was very interesting, because yesterday they were talking about the ban, because we have a ban. It's very helpful. Madam Secretary, is that right? Without the ban, we'd have a bigger problem.
We have
a ban
Muslims here. Oh, my God.
Areas, certain countries, depending on what's going on in the world.
Oh, my God. Yes, John Doe says he is high. He is high because he's snorting Adderall. Oh, my God. What a clusterfuck it was. It just off the rails, as you knew it would be. I mean, blah. That's what he said. It was vomitatious. It was rambling on of insanity. And he knows he's going to be sued, and he knows he's going to lose, and he even gave them the case. Something else happened today. Donald Trump drew a primary challenger. Former governor of Massachusetts, Bill Weld, a Republican, said this.
I'm here actually because I think our country is in grave peril, and I cannot sit any longer quietly on the sidelines.
Thank you.
We have a president whose priorities are skewed towards promotion of himself rather than toward the good of the country. He may have great energy and considerable raw talent, but he does not use them in ways that promote democracy, truth, justice, and equal opportunity for all. To compound matters, our president is simply too unstable to carry out the duties of the highest executive office in the land, which include the specific duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. Republicans in Washington, many of them, exhibit all the symptoms of Stockholm syndrome.
Yes.
Identifying with their captor. The truth is that we've wasted an enormous amount of time by humoring this president, indulging him in his narcissism and his compulsive, irrational behaviors.
So former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld has formed an exploratory committee to primary Donald Trump. Let's hope he gets, there are another 5 or 10 of them out there, because this guy needs to be sent packing. Big league. All right. There was other news. By the way, Dave Johnson's going to join us today. Our old pal, Dave Johnson, friend of the show, who blogs these days at seeingtheforest.com. We'll talk about the insanity in the White House. I mean, the man is certifiable, doesn't belong there. So in what's news today, I have the whole buildup to what happened. You know what? Let me first start with some news that happened today, since all this happened. You know, I read the news today. Oh, boy. It's What's News with Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and on the Progressive Voices Network. I'm rushing fast because we've got Dave Johnson in a few minutes. The Supreme Court this morning agreed to take up a case about the Trump administration's plan to add that citizenship question to the 2020 census. It was winding its way through the courts, but the justices decided to skip over a regional appeals court and review a district court ruling that's currently barring the administration from adding this question to the 2020 census. So much is riding on this. We keep our fingers crossed, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg is back on the court today. News in the sports world, Colin Kaepernick, the former San Francisco 49ers quarterback who has not played in the NFL since 2016. And, oh, hold on, I want to get his first name. I have the whole article right here. Eric Reed, who was, let go, but he was a safety for the Carolina Panthers, were among players who refused to stand for the national anthem before games. They took a knee. It's not that they refused to stand. Sorry, I'm reading it, and I don't like the way it's written. And they took a knee to protest racial inequality and police treatment of African Americans. No details were offered and will likely not be made available, but they reached a settlement with the NFL today. Isn't that interesting how that happens? It was a collusion grievance. It was Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed both filed a suit alleging collusion between the NFL the league itself and the teams, keeping them from playing football. And today, they announced a settlement. Now, we're not going to be, you know, it's the resolution of this matter is subject to a confidentiality agreement, so there will be no further comment by any party. We're not going to know how much money was given to Kaepernick and Reed, but I'm guessing it was a lot of money. And here's the other thing to keep in mind. If there were no collusion, there would have been no settlement. Just saying. Oh, and the store that stopped carrying Nike stuff, I forget where it was, but there was a big brouhaha over some store that after Nike used Colin Kaepernick as a, you know, a spokesperson, they stopped carrying Nike stuff. That store is now out of business. I like it how that works. All right. Well, what's news goes through the whole process of what happened with yesterday. Let me just share a little bit of, you know, the bill. Mitch McConnell never brought it to the floor until about 3:30 yesterday, when after apparently Trump gave him the assurance that he would not only sign the bill, he said he'd sign it, but he'd also declare the national emergency at the same time. And then, of course, Nancy Pelosi came out and she made a brilliant statement here.
I know the Republicans have some unease about it, no matter what they say, because that the president can declare an emergency on something that he has created as an emergency, an illusion that he wants to convey. Just think of what a president with different values can present to the American
people. Oh, Colbert, play this, Claire.
You want to talk about a national emergency?
Here
we go. Let's talk about today, the 1 year anniversary.
Yes.
Of another manifestation of the epidemic of gun violence in America. That's a national emergency.
That is a national emergency.
Why don't you declare that emergency, Mr. President? I wish you would. But a Democratic president can do that. Democratic president can declare emergencies as well. So the precedent that the president is setting here is something that should be met with great unease and dismay by the Republicans. And, of course, we will respond accordingly when we review our options.
All right. Thank you, Nancy Pelosi. So after Mitch McConnell made this announcement, an hour later, they brought it up for a vote in the Senate. The Senate passed it by a vote of 83-16. The 16 no votes were made up of some really strange bedfellows. Of all the declared presidential candidates in the Senate, only Amy Klobuchar voted yes. Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Kirsten Gillibrand, and Elizabeth Warren all voted no. And the only other Democrat in the Senate to vote no was Ed Markey of Massachusetts. So there were just those six Democratic no votes. The other 10 were Republicans. I'll get to them in a second. Bernie Sanders, by the way, who hasn't yet decided on or declared his candidacy, actually voted yes. He tweeted out, quote, "While I have concerns about this bill, I supported it because I can't turn my back on the 2 million federal employees and private contractors who'd be forced to work without pay. I'm also concerned about the millions who would be denied access to government services." So, Bernie Sanders voted yes, I guess, because he didn't want to be a party to another shutdown. Not that that was likely. On the Republican side, there were 11 Republicans who voted no, including Ted Cruz, Tom Cotton, Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, Ben Sasse, and a few others. Like I said, strange bedfellows. A few hours later, the House voted, passing the bill 300-128. And then that opened the door for this morning's ridiculous spectacle of an event. Oh, my God. Yes. And somebody in the chat room is just reiterating what I said earlier, that Trump said, "I didn't have to do it," which the, you know, everyone who files a lawsuit against him, and already there are four of them, will use as their opening statements. In other news, Bill Barr was confirmed as the U.S. Attorney General. Rand Paul was the only Republican to vote against confirmation. We mentioned this yesterday. Crossing over from the Democratic side, Doug Jones of Alabama, who has an election coming up, I sort of understand it. Joe Manchin of West Virginia, who's Joe Manchin of West Virginia. And Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, who, Howie Klein has been telling you, was the worst Democrat in the House and is now going to be probably the worst in the Senate. stand by. I said in my recorded What's News that the good news is that Matthew Whitaker is no longer acting attorney general. The bad news is that the Department of Justice is keeping him on as a staff counselor or something. Oh, my God. What else? Amazon announced that it's backing out of its plans to build a new headquarters in New York City after facing intense backlash from some community members. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, whose district borders where the proposed location was, called it a victory.
I think it's incredible. I mean, it shows that everyday Americans still have the power to organize and fight for their communities, and they can have more say in this country than the richest man in the world.
What do you say to those that criticize them pulling out, that the district now is going to lose 25,000 jobs that could have come there?
Well, one of those things is, A, we were subsidizing those jobs. So for the city was paying for those jobs. So frankly, if we were willing to give Amazon willing to give away $3 billion for this deal, we could invest those $3 billion in our district ourselves if we wanted to. We could hire out more teachers. We can fix our subways. We can put a lot of people to work for that money if we wanted to. Additionally, those jobs, there was no guarantee that those jobs were for the New Yorkers that were here. We were looking at a deal that was not primarily putting the community first. And I think that we can absolutely come together to create an economic plan that actually invests in New Yorkers, in higher wages, and in a dignified life.
Good for her. I think Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is awesome. And watch out, because the corporate Dems, the establishment Democrats, are on a smear role with her. If you happen to watch Morning Jerk today on MSNBC, they were all over her. Donnie Deutsch, for whatever reason, an advertising guy that they have on there all the time. What was the quote? I didn't even pull it, but I did see it on I think it was on Mediaite or one of those sites. Let's see. Okay. Donnie Deutsch. Extremely dangerous. Ocasio-Cortez is going to hand the presidency back to Trump. And apparently, Joe and Mika said shocking how little she understands about economics and unemployment. Unbelievable. They're just more of the same. All right. There's more. I did happen to catch a segment that Rachel Maddow did on Trump's physical. A week after he had his physical, they finally released some information that was all lies once again. And Rachel went off there. You can find it online. I'm not going to play it, but a whole thing about how they're still lying and claiming that Donald Trump is 6'3" tall. Not that it matters. It doesn't matter how fucking tall he is. What matters is the fact that not only is he lying about it, but they get the military personnel, the official White House doctor, to lie about it too. And she put up photographic evidence, pictures of Trump standing next to actors, sports people, former presidents, Barack Obama. There's a few pictures of Trump and Obama standing right next to each other. And actually, Obama looks just a hair taller, and Obama's official height is 6'1.5". So just the fact that they lie about picayune bullshit like this is just confounding. It just makes no sense. Because, if they're lying about little piddly shit like this, they're lying about the big stuff, too, which we knew. But, oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right. I need somebody to talk about this stuff with. So let's bring in Dave Johnson, shall we?
Olson Johnson is right. I say we stay and fight it out.
Dr. Samuel Johnson's right about Olson Johnson's being right. And I'm not giving up my ice cream parlor that I built with these two hands for nothing or nobody.
Howard Johnson is right.
The latest in a long line of Johnsons who were right. Correct. It's Dave Johnson on the Nicole Sandler Show.
You can find Dave Johnson usually at seeingtheforest.com. You can find him on the Twitters at DC Johnson. Even though he's not in DC, he's in Northern California. Hey, Dave Johnson.
Hey, I'm on. Wait.
You're on.
Hold on. I'm on. Hold on.
Had to do the other nostril.
Oh, you had to get the Adderall out of there.
You're a two Adderall show.
Yeah.
So I had to, yeah.
I understand.
Well, it's just, yeah. I saw my role model on TV earlier, and he'd obviously had about five or six.
Oh, my God. I got to say, yeah. I understand when people don't want to watch him or listen. I usually don't either. I do it because this is what I do for a living. So I feel I got to take one for the team, as it were, and know what went on. Oh, my God. Was today like a shit show or what?
Yeah. My wife, she's not allowed. I'm not allowed to have him on the screen or even on the radio or anything, right?
Uh-huh.
But we were watching you, right?
Uh-huh.
In the last half
hour. Oh, God.
And she's found a way she can stand Trump, and that's if you're in the background saying
and yelling
she
at
was
him.
Cracking up at the things. When he said, he's like a schoolboy.
Oh, my God. What
I mean,
is he?
Can you believe this is happening? Even,
no,
you know?
I really can't. It's like a bad nightmare that we haven't awoken from. Although I've gotten over the shock part of it. You know, the Kubler-Ross, the stages of grief. If you ever watched the movie All That Jazz, they deal with it beautifully.
Yeah.
The anger, denial, depression, acceptance. I've gone through all of them a number of times. I've never gotten to the acceptance part. And I will not. I cannot believe this country installed that buffoon in the White House. I just can't believe it.
I'm at the put the damn corpse in the ground part.
No kidding. The only good news is a study was released this week that said drinking more than two Diet Cokes a day will lead to stroke, heart attack, dementia. He drinks like a dozen or more. So
he's had all of those, obviously.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the stroke
dementia.
To come. He's already demented, that much we know.
You know, remember when he first got in and everybody was talking about, don't let this be normalized.
Yeah.
Don't let this be normalized. Have you heard anybody say that lately?
No, because it's become...
You know what that means?
It's become normalized.
A voice in the background that was cracking up at you earlier just said, it's normalized.
Yeah, it's normalized.
I think she wants to be on the show, too.
That's okay. More the merrier. This is the new normal, and that's what's so frightening about it. He does things on a daily basis.
Laugh, but it's not funny.
No, it's not funny. It's not funny.
Yeah.
He does things on a daily basis that would have gotten any other president impeached.
Well, just talking about, was it yesterday? No, yesterday was Kim Jong, right? Praising him and talking about the economic miracle.
Well, he did it today, too. They love each other.
And then, of course, there's always Putin. But today it was a president who's declared himself president for life.
That's
Xi
right.
Says that executing people is the way to get things done. They don't bother you anymore if you kill them.
Right. And to make matters worse, besides the fact that I'm advocating for killing people on drug offenses, I'm going to quote him using broken Asian English.
Oh, that was so offensive. Yeah. But
just
here's one more thing.
This.
He's not talking about the actual source of the opioid epidemic we have, which is these pharmaceutical companies pushing the opioids and the salespeople they hired and all of that that went to these areas of economic deprivation and got, you know, anyway, we're off track. Let's talk about the national emergency.
Let's do, because there are real national emergencies, and the only thing to stick a fork in this is if he does this and the courts don't stop it, which they will, because he as much as admitted that it's not a real emergency, that he just wants to do it fast.
You're missing something.
So it will be struck down. But if it's by some miracle not struck down because he packed the Supreme Court, then, as you say, President Harris or Warren can declare national emergencies for climate, health care, education, you know, and take the money right out of the military budget. I like that idea.
Well, you missed one thing.
What's that?
Trump judges.
Yeah, well, I said. I mean, he stacked the courts.
There's so many of these Trump judges now, you know. Exactly. President Harris, President Warren. I mean, I'm saying to everybody around, quiet. Maybe, you know, he'll get away with this and a Trump judge will approve it. Okay. And then President Warren or President Harris or... You know,
and
Buttigieg.
I just looked up in the chat room, Buttigieg. Diane Russell, who's one of the moderators in the YouTube chat room, just posted active shooter reported in Illinois. That is a national emergency.
That is a national emergency.
I live in Coral Springs, Florida. Yesterday, I went to the Temple of Time that was built here in Coral Springs. We're right next door to Parkland. A lot of kids who go to Marjory Stoneman Douglas live in Coral Springs. This is our community. Yesterday was the one-year anniversary of 17 people from my community being shot dead by an idiot with an AR-15 who went into that school. And now there's an active shooter in Illinois. This is a national emergency.
Well, that's one of the things, and that's one of the reasons I like this guy Buttigieg and what he's saying. For people who don't know, Buttigieg is the mayor of South Bend,
Indiana.
He's a millennial. He's running for president, and he's saying the reason I'm running for president is because we've got to represent the millennial viewpoint, which is very different. And the millennials, you got Parkland, and I can't forget that speech. What's her name?
Emma Gonzalez.
Emma Gonzalez. I mean, that was such a moving speech. We should put it on again, you know. And now the Sunrise Movement, which is millennials. Okay.
Yep. I'm not a millennial. They're the ones behind the Green New Deal. People are ascribing it to AOC, but it's the Sunrise.
No, she showed up to support them.
That's all.
And they said you're too old, but you can give us money, which I did. So now that is a national emergency, but it's not a national emergency. It's a worldwide emergency. I would have no objection to the next president coming in and saying, this really is an emergency. This is a real emergency, and here are things we have to do. And the guns, I mean, there's obvious steps that are quite in line with what is the real reason we have national emergency declarations. We're going to start putting in checks so that crazy people can't get guns. Remember when they wouldn't even vote against people on the terrorist no-fly list? They said, no, we can't tell them they can't get guns. Remember that?
Yep, I do remember that.
Yeah,
yep.
Terrorists.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
They can't fly because they are suspected of being terrorists or having terrorist connections, yet you're willing to give them, let them buy as many guns as they want.
Right, or at least not even check to make sure, you know, what are they going to do? Right, and I mean, you want to talk about what is a national emergency. It's that. Trump talks about women. He talks about these cars.
Women being tied up in cars. Yes.
Cars that are better than anything we have. That
coming through the border.
What is he watching? Mad Max, you know, and then coming out and tweeting shit or saying stuff?
Well, he's watching
and,
Fox.
Women bound with tape. Vans full of women bound with tape. And, of course, the people at the border don't see them coming through or something, you know. I mean, what? And then he said the drugs that come into the country aren't coming through checkpoints, you know.
Right.
Which is exactly where they're coming from. Okay, anyway, it's just so crazy that it gets very, very difficult to have rational discussions.
Yep.
So we have national emergencies. We have real national emergencies. And this makes fun of the problems, the real problems that we do have.
That's true. By the way, there's more breaking news, and I'm trying to open the story, and it won't open.
Oh,
but
no.
Apparently, a judge hit Roger Stone with a gag order. I'm trying to find the details in it. But
what's that line? You have the right to remain silent, and I wish you would use it.
Right? No kidding.
Yeah.
Roger, still, let's try it this way.
Can they hit that guy number with it too?
Oh, I don't think so because he hasn't been indicted. Here you go. A federal judge.
How about Coulter?
I don't think so. Federal judges placed a gag order on longtime Donald Trump associate Roger Stone and attorneys involved in his case. Counselor for the parties and the witnesses must refrain from making statements to the media. Whoops. Hold on. Shut up. Or in public settings that pose a substantial likelihood of material prejudice to this case. They're also not allowed to speak in and around the courthouse. Roger Stone has to shut up. I know that, you know, that sort of puts me at odds with the First Amendment, but, you know, Roger Stone needs to shut up.
Well, no, in a trial situation, there's real reasons, and it doesn't have, it's not anti-First Amendment to put a gag order on a trial because you're actually trying to, it's like witness tampering, jury tampering, and things like that when you come out and talk about certain things.
Of course.
Certain ways.
And that's all he's been trying to do is you know, tamper with.
Exactly.
Yes. So, shut up, Roger Stone. So ordered by the judge.
So I have a second direction I wanted to go in
okay.
this discussion here.
Yes.
Is that all right?
Yep.
All
by the way, before you get there, one last thing. I found the George Conway tweet. And by the way, his Twitter handle is GTConway3D, just in case you're wondering. And when Trump said, I didn't need to do this about the non-emergency, George Conway wrote, this quote should be the first sentence of the first paragraph of every complaint filed this afternoon. Just I alluded to it before, but I found the quote. Okay, so the other direction you wanted to go in, Dave Johnson?
We're hearing about how Democrats aren't caring about policies. They only want someone who will defeat Trump.
I don't think that's true.
You've been hearing that?
Well, I've heard some people.
I don't think it's true, but
some people,
I've been hearing it.
Yeah, well, some people are like that. Look, some people are jumping on the, Biden and Beto, because you know they've never read any policies that these people espouse, that they don't know their voting records, that they aren't paying attention. That's why, look, the first debates have been announced. They will be in June. The first debates will be in June. There's no reason to decide anything now until everybody's in who's getting in, and you have a chance to hear where they stand on the issues.
Right. I'm not going to object. Well, there's a couple I'll object to,
yeah.
but I'm not going to object to any of them
mm-hmm.
until I hear, you know, where they're going to stand on the issues and things like that. But I want to tell you what I want in a candidate, okay?
Okay.
Because I don't agree with that. I mean, remember when they picked Kerry because Kerry, you know, the Republicans weren't going to say anything. Kerry could certainly beat Bush.
Right, because he was a war hero.
Let's not pick Dean. You know, they got all scared. I call it the scared of what Rush Limbaugh is going to say about them
mm-hmm.
syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to say anything that might let Rush Limbaugh say, see, I told you, and that's what, you know, that's these 90s-style Democrats and how they approach this. And I'm so glad that people like AOC and others are leading the way, showing how it's done. And don't be afraid of what Republicans are going to say about you. They're going to say shit about you, you know?
Yep.
Trump's going to say that whatever you propose is socialism. They're going to say you're a socialist. So Medicare for all, come on, Green New Deal. So here's what I want in a Democrat, okay? I want a Democrat who will prosecute corruption.
Yeah.
I want a Democrat who makes it clear they understand what the Republican Party is and that the Republican Party's not going to work with them. This was a thing way back, I think it was the first Netroots Nation, when it was called Yearly Coast.
Yeah.
And it was in Vegas, maybe the second, I don't remember. And we had this strange meeting with Mark Warner, who was going to run for president at the time. And so he had this big party, you know. I remember he had a chocolate fountain. Were you there?
No, I wasn't there.
Any of that?
I wasn't there that year. No, I wasn't there. My first was in Netroots Nation in Vegas, but it was years later.
Okay. Well, they had this invitation of a few bloggers.
Yeah.
Remember bloggers?
I do.
Like me?
Yes.
And we had this weird question-answer session with the guy. And then there was a cordon, and outside of the cordon was the press watching. It was the weirdest thing. But he kept saying, I'm going to be a good president because I'll be able to work with the Republicans, and we'll come to compromise, and we'll get things done. And I kept saying again and again, what if they don't?
Yeah.
And he didn't have an answer. He said, no, they will. I'm going to work with them, and I did it when I was governor. Da, 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 da. What if they won't? And it's like, until now, no presidential candidate has faced this situation of we have this corrupt, kind of, I don't even want to call them a political party, because what do you call an organization that's funded by oil companies for the sole purpose of corruption? You
cartel?
Know? But, yeah. So I want a presidential candidate who recognizes what they're up against
mm-hmm.
and who recognizes and offers solutions on the scale of the problems we have. So that's what I'm listening for. And I want a presidential candidate who is going to prosecute corruption. Can you imagine if they prosecuted money laundering and they prosecuted fraud and all of those things? We wouldn't have Trump. He'd be in jail.
Right.
He'd have been in jail 10 years ago.
He would have been.
So I want a candidate who's going to impeach Trump judges who take the slightest step out of line, because they shouldn't be there.
Well, that's true.
Give them the slightest reason and impeach them. And, you know, well, who's going to encourage Congress to, excuse me. Or maybe they'll declare a national emergency and get them all out of there.
Oh, my God.
I want a president who's going to use the power they have. Republicans, they take all the power they have and then they overreach.
They do.
Democrats
but the
refuse to use the power they have
right.
to help us.
That's true.
So,
Obama, one of the problems with Obama was he wanted everyone to like him. And, you know, he thought he was post, you know, partisan. He was post-racial. He was post-partisan. And he wasn't any of those things. He just bent over
right.
backwards so as not to offend the other guys while they demolished him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He got kind of wise to it in the last few years.
Yeah,
but
by then it was too late. I mean,
it was too late.
Right?
Yep.
And when he could have gotten things done, he didn't because he was so busy trying. Look, the whole thing about the Russia's involvement in the election, the reason he didn't do anything was he didn't want to appear to be putting his finger on the scale.
He was afraid of what Rush Limbaugh might say.
Of course.
Say about him.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of sums it up. So I also think part of the problem with Obama was inexperience.
Yeah.
He hadn't been around long enough to understand a lot of this stuff, and he appointed people who just took advantage of him because he didn't understand these kinds of things about how the system works. I'm going to digress.
Okay, let me just share. Mike Lee just put out a statement about the so-called national emergency. And what he said is this: my initial assessment is that what President Trump announced is legal. Whether or not it should be legal is a different matter. Congress has been ceding far too much power to the executive branch for decades. We should use this moment as an opportunity to start taking that power back.
Well, in an hour, he's going to tweet that snorting Adderall before you go out in public is legal, too. But, you know, it is, I suppose.
I don't know if he has a prescription.
Yeah.
But this, you know, I'm wondering if this is where, the House, what Nancy Pelosi has at her disposal now is putting forth a measure to, I guess, disapprove of this, to... I forget the technical thing. And if it passes the House, which it would, the Senate must take it up.
Right.
And
that's
all
right.
these
and
people
gonna,
would have to
they're
go
gonna approve it
on
because
the record.
The Republicans will approve it. And then it'll be fine, you know, for President Warren to
declare gun violence
to tell
and national emergency.
Story about experience.
Okay.
When we had the Cuban Missile Crisis, John F. Kennedy was president, and he had been in the military, in a command of a small ship. He'd been a senator for a long time, okay? He knew a lot about how things work, and he did something unusual. He called up the wing commander who was flying over Cuba, the guy in charge, the military guy, I think, you know, not very high in rank. And he said to him, I want you to report to me what you're seeing and hearing. And if you get an order to shoot, I want you to call me immediately. Because John F. Kennedy understood how these things work. He understood his generals wanted a war. You know, he understood a lot of things about how orders get passed up and down the chain. And so he wanted to know that he was getting told what they were actually seeing, and he wanted to know that the people being ordered to shoot, if they're going to order to shoot, they're going to be ordered by him and no one else. That was experience, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Experience has a value. Obama did not have that experience. He was in his first term in the Senate.
Yeah. Well, and so are so many of those who are running. Kamala Harris, I'm sorry, she might have been a decent prosecutor or not, once you look at her record. But this is her first term in the Senate. Same with Cory Booker.
She did have administrative experience.
True.
There's something
right?
there.
And Cory Booker did as the mayor of Newark, I guess. Mm-hmm. But still, we've got a lot of political newbies here, which brings me back to Bernie Sanders, who's been at this for a very long time.
And Warren. Warren's
and
got
Elizabeth
good
Warren.
Experience.
Right.
And
a
couple of them have good experience. I think, isn't Cory Booker in a second term? I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
It's at least something. Okay, so what I'm going with this is that one of the most important things that a president does is a president appoints people.
Uh-huh.
And somebody who knows what they're doing will appoint the people. And it's Warren who says, you know, personnel is policy. You can have all the policies you want, but if you don't have the right people in place, They don't implement it. They go around you. They leak. They sabotage you, et cetera, et cetera. And she knows that. Obama didn't understand that. And it was, I can't say who, because it was a confidential meeting, but it was one of these candidates who told me that one of the problems with Obama was that the people he put in these, you know, Summers and, what was the guy's name, Treasury Secretary?
Geithner.
Geithner and them, they understood things Obama didn't, and they were going around him.
They
were the reason that we didn't get mortgage relief for people and only for banks and things like that, because Obama didn't have the experience and appointed people who did have more experience than him. And so Warren understands that is someone who I think is good because she's come up with the CFPB.
Yes.
I think you know who I'm talking about who told me those things many years ago because that person had been in those meetings and is now running for president.
Okay.
Some of the others have that experience. Sherrod Brown, there's a guy with experience. And
he does have experience. And my problem with Sherrod Brown is he's a little too centrist for me. He's a little too cautious. But again, I would love for him to jump in because I think he's a great voice to have out there. And for the most part, he's very progressive. And I understand that the nominee may not be my 100% choice, that I might have some differences with this person. And you know what? That's okay, too.
Well, as long as they're going to, that's so important to me. I want to find out they're going to not just talk stuff. They understand and tell us who they're going to appoint.
Yeah.
Because that makes all the difference in the world. And that's one of the things that scares me a little bit about Kamala Harris, although she sounds great. Obviously, she's made some kind of deal with Clinton world.
Yeah, she certainly has. It seems
that
way.
The toxic stuff we're seeing online defending her.
Yeah,
makes me think that's the Clinton people.
The fact
that
she's got the Neera Tanden's, the Center for American Progress, and Cher Blue, the David Brocks, all those people behind her is suspect because they're the kind of people. I'm sorry, I don't want them in my corner. Really don't.
Well, I do. I want them in my corner, but I don't want them appointing another Geithner and Summers
to
tell people the stimulus should be half what it should be.
I worry about the...
That we should make a deal with the pharma and other companies before we... Yeah, et cetera.
I worry about the conditions, they said. By the way...
his name? The first chief of staff. Oh, the guy who's Marichal, Rahm Emanuel. He made him chief of staff.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know.
So that's very important to me in this. I think any one of them will defeat Trump. I don't care. I want to know some policy things. I want to know they mean it. I want to know they understand the corruption of the Republican Party and promise to do something. Remember when Obama came in and he said, we're not going to even investigate people for torture. We're not going to investigate people for launching illegal aggressive war by lying to the public. He said, we're not going to do that. We're going to move on.
No. Yeah. No.
I want somebody who understands that we've got to address the corruption problem in this country.
Absolutely. By the way, a little programming note, so to speak. Monday, of course, is President's Day. Well, this notice just out from MoveOn.org. Trump declared hashtag national emergency, a fake Trump emergency for his racist and wasteful war. We're ready to hit streets in emergency protests Monday, President's Day. A mass outcry defending immigrants and democracy. Sign up for info on local events at crisisresponse.us. Crisisresponse.us is where they're organizing these marches to be held on Monday, on President's Day. It seems like a good day, if any, to take to the streets against this.
Yes.
Travesty. And the fact is that, you know, I hate it that Trump is down here or will be down here again in a matter of hours. Who knows? It might
smelling be up the place.
No kidding. God. Hey, Dave Johnson. What a mess.
Yeah.
I really think today might have been a turning point of sorts because I do think some of these Republicans who've been probably biting their tongues and just trying to, you know, move forward, get their tax cuts and other bullshit, things that they want for themselves through, they're finally reaching their last straw. I think this was a bridge too far. I think a lot of them are going to come out, and this might be what puts them over the edge, I hope.
I think the National Enquirer investigate and smear and blackmail machine might have a little more to do with that.
Yeah, that too. The two of them together might just blow this guy up. Oh, let's only
No,
hope.
I mean, like Lindsey Graham. Obviously, the National Enquirer's got something on him.
That too. Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying.
I hear you. All right.
Or maybe they're going for they want a taste of the kleptocracy.
I don't know.
Carrot, taste of the kleptocracy. Stick, National Enquirer blackmail machine.
I guess. I'm just hoping it's the beginning of the end of this dotards presidency.
Hoping that for years.
It is the end of the week. We've come
no.
to it. Yes. Dave Johnson, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for joining me on this ridiculous day.
All right, I'll go. The Adderall's wearing off.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks for having me on.
Bye.
So much.
Find Dave Johnson Bye. On the Twitters at DC Johnson and his blog at seeingtheforest.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'll see you Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Bye.